they hear about you and learn at a young age how great you are, and so that they would serve you and follow you all the days of their life. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we do want to begin by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So Happy Mother's Day. If you are a mother, would you please stand? All mothers in the house, please stand. Would you give them a big round of applause? Now, stay standing, stay standing. We want to say a prayer blessing over you and let you know that we do appreciate you and we are thankful for you and that you are extremely important. So important, we all realized this morning that none of us would be here if it wasn't for you, right? And so we are thankful for you, and we have a gift for you out there as you are leaving. Make sure that you please get one of those, some flower seeds, right? The flower seeds and the garden glove, and then you can plant that and watch that grow and let that remind you of God's blessings upon you. Let's pray for our mothers this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for all the mothers that are here this morning. What a blessing they truly are. We thank you for their dedication, their love, and we pray, Lord, that that they would continue to be an example for their kids and that they would love you, serve you, follow you so that they can be the mothers that you've called them to be. May you bless them today, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated, and we're going to actually, this fits along in with our Serve series, so I kept it in there, because we're gonna look at Proverbs chapter 31, and when we look at Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to see a lady that truly serves her husband, serves her family, serves her community, and she has a servant's heart. And so we're going to look at her. And guys, just because this is, we're going to be looking at a lady in the Bible and seeing her attributes and character traits, that doesn't mean that this can't apply to us as well. Because the things that make this woman excellent and great are also character traits that we need to have in our life to make us the men that we are called to be. Sound good? All right, let's stand for the honor of reading God's word. If you would, we'll be in Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and hear from your word. And as we look at this lady and the character and the devotion and the service that she provides, the love that she has for you and others, I pray that we would model that as well, and that would be a part of who we are. Help me to preach plain and clear today. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you read through the book of Proverbs, it is a book written to a young man. His father wants to give him advice on how to navigate life. And through the chapter, it tells you about wisdom and folly, encourages you around about the men that you should avoid hanging around, and those that you should follow. There's also two different ladies that are depicted in the book of Proverbs. There's the woman of folly, the shady lady, the lady that is to be avoided, the woman who has impure motives, impure actions, impure attitudes, and so the father speaks wisdom in his son and says you need to avoid this type of lady. But then that's juxtaposed to a woman by the wisdom, the lady of wisdom. You have the woman of folly and the lady of wisdom, and this lady is one to be praised. This is one that is rare. This is a lady that exemplifies the character, traits, the integrity, the honesty, all of the good attributes that you would want. And you seek her. And in Proverbs 31, verse 10, it begins by saying, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The question is this, is there anyone out there that is precious, priceless, that is a treasure? Is there any lady out there that exemplifies the moral attributes, the character that one would desire in a wife? Now, before we get too far, and before we think that this lady is a great lady just because of who she is and what she has done, we must realize that the lady in Proverbs 31, the reason why she's able to live a life of faithfulness and service and blessing to others is found in the last part of chapter 31 where it says, a woman who fears the Lord is to what? Be praised. This lady is a woman who fears God. She is a woman of faith. She has faith in God. She has fear and reverence for God. And because she has a faith and belief in God, she serves him and worships him and loves him. And because she loves God, she loves others. So she is a woman of faith. Without her faith, she could not do what she is doing. And she didn't read how to live her life and accomplish her goals by reading How to Win Friends and Influence People. It wasn't her reading in the Glamour magazine of How to Make Your Husband Happy, 7 Tips and How to Make Your Marriage Healthy. And it wasn't the latest blog she read on how to be a better mother. No, she was a woman who feared God, had faith in God, and her faith in God changed everything about who she was. That ought to happen, not only just for our mothers in the house this morning, but for every individual. Your faith in God, your belief in God, your faith in Christ ought to change who you are. Amen? And so it's the question is not, will this person ever be found? It's like, when you search her and seek her, when you find this person, man, they're precious. And I tell you, it's a sad reality, is it not? In a culture when you have young teenagers, young adults, college, they're seeking a spouse. And you're thinking, is there any good girls out there? And the girls are thinking, is there any good guys out there? And isn't it depressing when you're looking around, maybe your classmates or the people that your colleagues, and you think, there's not anybody I'd want to marry. That's sad, isn't it? But the reality is that there's slim pickings. Y'all ever heard that phrase, slim pickings? There's some slim pickings. I mean, it's a sad reality that a majority of people in our culture have conformed to the ways of the world rather than conforming their life to the Word of God. And so what I hope to do, what I think we need to do, parents, is that we've got to instill in our kids at a young age what it means to be a man and woman of God. Amen? Now, I was blessed. I found my precious jewel. Michelle was a treasure. And she had the moral integrity. She exemplifies everything about Proverbs 31. And she has been such a blessing to me, to my children, and Living Water Church. Living Water Church is blessed because of that lady right over there. And so, happy Mother's Day. I love you. I'll take a little bit of your time to do that. Is that okay? But what young people, listen, you don't have to go along with what everybody else is doing. Okay? You can live your life. You can go through your high school days. You can go through your college days. And you don't have to partake in all the alcoholic parties that are going on. You don't have to try smoking or weed or I don't know, what is it, juuling now? Everybody want a juul now, or vaping and all this stuff? You can stand out among the crowd and say, you know what, I will not be that type of person. I'm not going to put anything in my body that could destroy my life. I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to keep myself sexually pure, and I'm going to hold myself to a high standard. We need to set high standards for our lives. We need to set high standards as young adults, and we need to keep them high. You need to be that rare and precious jewel that when somebody finds you are priceless to them and all that you're around. Living Water Church, you know what we need to do? We need to raise up young men and women who are that priceless pearl, that precious jewel that lives their life above reproach and lives in the fear of God and follows Him with complete surrender. So young people, listen to me. My challenge to you is this: get a hold of God, have faith in Him, love Him, follow Him, serve Him, seek to please Him above anyone else, above your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your boys or whatever you call your buddies. Seek to please God, stand out among the crowd, rise up, be different. It's amazing how in our culture, we always want to be, we want to be different. Teenagers always want to be, they want to be different. They want to be unique. They want to have their own voice. Well, I tell you, if you want to be different and unique in our culture, in our society, have moral integrity. That will make you unique and different. And so we see that this lady, she is priceless. She is like a precious jewel. Why? Here are some reasons why. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She is trustworthy. She's trustworthy. This lady has her eye on God. She loves God, she fears God, and therefore, because she loves God and fears God, she can love her husband the way that she's supposed to love him. If you will love God the way that you're supposed to love him, then you'll be able to love your spouse. You're not supposed to love your spouse before God, you're supposed to love God first. Because if you get that order right, you will love him, and then you will want to love your wife like Christ loved the church, and the wives will want to love and respect and honor her husband. He doesn't have to worry about her eye wandering. He doesn't have to worry about what she's doing. He trusts her completely. You realize trust is extremely important in any relationship. Amen? Even in a friendship, you find out someone's talking about you, they're bad-mouthing you, or they've lied to you, and the trust is broken. Boy, it's hard to mend that relationship. If you want to be a Proverbs 31 individual, you need to be someone that can be trusted, that you have high integrity. She's trustworthy. She has a good work ethic. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax, works with willing hands. Some versions say works with delight. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. She gets up before dawn and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She has good work ethic. She serves her family through her work ethic. She's not lazy. She works. Work is not a four-letter word. Amen? Work is ordained by God. In fact, in the very beginning, before the fall, you know, some people think of work as a curse. Oh, gotta go to work, you know. But work is a God thing. God ordained work. They were to work the garden. That was before the curse. We were made to work. We were made to do that. And so this lady, she has a good work ethic. She's providing resources for her family. She was a working lady before it was cool to be a working lady. Now, we've got a lot of ladies in our church. You're hard workers. Amen. Thank God for the hardworking mothers in our church. Amen. Yeah, I think they need to deserve a big round of applause. Amen. Right. And we also have some moms, you stay at home, but you work at home. And just because you are a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean that you necessarily aren't working, because you can work just as hard as anyone that has a job when you stay at home if you work, right? And because we have a lot of those mothers. And I think of my grandmother. My grandmother, she didn't work. But I tell you what, her house was spotless. I mean, when you would go into her home, you would try to seek if you could find one speck of dust just to say, "Hup, Nanny, you missed a spot over here," because she would dust and clean her house. She would sweep her floors every day. And now when I sweep floors, I want to make sure that the lines are visible when I sweep, right? Because I want to make sure that Michelle knows that I what? I swept. See those lines? I swept. My grandmother, she didn't like the lines. She thought it looked messy. And she would sweep her carpet in such a way that she left no lines on that carpet. I don't know how she did it, but she didn't. If you walked through her house and got footprints through her carpet, you'd hear that vacuum come up, and she'd be out there cleaning it again. And but she had a good work ethic. She had a good work ethic. And when you have a good work ethic, you are a blessing, right? If all you do is sit around watching soap operas and Jerry Springer and the latest whatever you've got DVR'd, guess what your life's going to end up like? A Jerry Springer show. You've got to work. You've got to have good work ethic. This lady wasn't afraid to get her hands dirty. She had willing hands. She wasn't lady. She was productive. How good is that? Because when you're have good work ethic and you're productive, you are a blessing to your family. And not only to your family, but your community. She's very ambitious. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She considers a field, buys it, and then go plants a vineyard. She's ambitious. She has goals. She sees opportunities and she takes it. She's looking for ways to invest for the future. She is working hard. She is investing wisely. She is looking for opportunities. And she has a plan. Do you realize we can set goals for our life? Amen? It's not a sin to set goals. But what it is a sin is to set goals without the consideration of God. Because man may make a plan, but it is the Lord who guides his steps. Amen? So never leave God out of your planning, but you are to plan. You are to have, hopefully, you've got something in store. You're investing in something. You're looking down the road. Your 401k isn't KY lottery. Where you think, well, I'm just going to hit the jackpot, and that's my future investment retirement plan. If that's what you're hoping for, you're in trouble. Amen? You got to be thinking forward. You have to be ambitious. You have to have goal setting and planning. Not only is she ambitious, but she's strong. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She is always about producing. Her arms are strong. She is a strong lady. Strong women. Strong, godly women are priceless. They're like a precious jewel. Amen? And she can be strong and be a woman without having to be a man. Now, we have some confusion going on in our culture. Gender confusion, where we don't know if we're a man or a woman. And that is diabolical. That is not something to applaud. That is not something to condone or accept. It is, I believe, an attack from Satan upon our culture. And people who struggle and battle that, I believe, are being oppressed, and we need to pray for them because they are being taken down a dark course that's going to lead them to destruction. Ladies, you are a woman, and you will never be a man. Thank God. Amen. So don't act like a man, because that's gross. And you will never be a man for one reason. You can't think that slow. Okay? You can't. You gotta, Michelle can really do multiple things. And if I'm involved in something, don't ask me a question. I might not even know my name if I'm in the middle of a task. What's your name? Which one you want me to do? You want me to do this task or you want me to answer the question? I can't do both. I can't do both. But she is a strong-willed woman who is ambitious, has a good work ethic. She is rare, priceless. She's a jewel. And not only that, she is generous. Look at verse 19. She puts her hands out to the staff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is generous. She loves other people and she blesses other people. And not only is she a blessing to her husband, and not only is she a blessing to her children, but she's a blessing to other people around. To her own little village, to her own community. Why is that? Now, well, number one, she handles money the way God says to handle money, I would bet. And when we handle money the way God says to handle money, and we steward our finances the way God says to steward them, then we will have so that we can give. Read the Bible. Read it for yourself, especially all through Proverbs. A generous man, the Bible says, he himself will be blessed. If you aren't stewarding your money, and if you don't use money the way God says to use it, and you don't have any money to bless people with, you can't bless them. Right? I mean, if you don't have anything to your name, you can't give. You can't bless somebody with resources if you don't have resources to bless them with. And so this woman, no, she's wise, she's smart, she's an investor, she's a worker, she stewards, and she has compassion, and she blesses people. Living Water Church, we ought to be full of people who steward our money in such a way that we are a blessing to our community. Should be that the people that go to Living Water Church, man, they are rare. Those are some rare folks. Those are some priceless folks. Those are some precious folks. Why? Because they are a blessing to their families and their communities. The place you work ought to be blessed. The people around you ought to be blessed. Everywhere in our little villages ought to be blessed. And I've learned and discovered as we keep growing older and our kids go through different phases of life, you have different little villages, don't you? Sometimes you have your little T-ball village that you do life with for a moment. Then you got maybe your soccer village, or you got your ballet village, or you have your orchestra village, or you have your whatever. You have these different moments where you're around people, and throughout different seasons of life, you may be around different people, and in those moments you ought to be someone that is a blessing to other people. And if you can help and bless others in your community or those around you, when you see needs, to be able to meet them, that's a good thing. Amen. It's sad when you see kids go to school and they don't have shoes to wear. And or they got holes in their socks. And if you see a child, you see someone that's struggling, and you can bless them, man, you bless them. I remember when we were doing an event, helping out with Mapleton, and this little boy, man, he had the biggest smile. He was just so, I mean, he was just so joyful, and he came running up to Michelle. This is Michelle was out at Mapleton, and I was out there helping with field day, and his little feet were busting out of his shoes, but he was smiling, he was having fun. I mean, they weren't in school, they're out there having fun. So any day in elementary school when you're not in the classroom is a good day. Amen. And so he's having fun, but his feet are busting out, and Michelle looks at his feet, and I look at Michelle, and we're looking down, and she looks at me, and, you know, we've got that communication without having to communicate. Like she says, you know, she's looking at me going, go buy him some shoes. And so we go buy this boy some shoes. And when we took it to him, and we said, we want you to have these. These are yours. Somebody wanted you to have these shoes. And his eyes got about this big. His face lit up, and he was blessed. He was blessed. A generous spirit, a generous heart, a giving heart. This lady is priceless. Do you see how valuable she is? Not only is she generous, she's confident. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. She's not worried about winter. You know why she's not worried about winter? Because she has prepared. She's confident. because she prepared. She got things ready in advance. She knew that the winter time would get cold, so I need to make sure we've got the right clothing for our kids to have so that they can stay warm in the winter. Right? Parents, we know this. Every August, what happens? School starts. And what happens to kids during the summer, especially during certain ages? They grow, right? And so if you haven't prepared in advance, they're going to put their clothes on, and on the first day of school, they're going to come out and go, I'm ready. Get that down. Got to be prepared. Got to be ready for that. And moms and dads who prepare for their children, what a blessing they are. The sad reality is, in America, we have many parents who do not prepare or invest or care about the clothing even of their own children. That's sad. Living Water Church, we should be that precious jewel that is ready, that we prepare, that we invest, that we're wise, that we steward, so that when hard times come, we're ready. She's ready. She's confident. Not only is that, she's modest. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Peter says, for women, to adorn yourself, to let your beauty be that of holiness and godliness, moral uprightness, conduct, behavior becoming of someone who is a child of God, honesty, integrity. I think we need some of that back, don't you? Some modesty. Modesty. If you get up and you're getting ready to go to school or work or whatever, and you put on your clothes and you look in the mirror and you go, does this make me look sexy? Wrong question. Wrong question. Modesty. If your kid gets sent home from school because they have inappropriate clothing, not shame on the school, shame on you. Modesty. Where has modesty went? We need to have parents who will even model that, right? I mean, because that goes for the older women too. You know, you 40, 50, 60 years old, embrace that. Be a beautiful 40-year-old. Modest. You're not a teenager anymore. Quit dressing like a teenager. Quit acting like one. Live a modest, upright, holy, godly life. This lady's not going to bring shame to her family by the way she conducts her life and by the way that she dresses. Strength, dignity, the character of God. That's what clothes her. And she's wise. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks good for the ways of her household. When she speaks wisdom. She speaks life. She's not out there trashing people, speaking about people, blogging about people, Facebooking about people, tearing others down. When she speaks, she lifts them up, and she speaks wisdom, and she speaks truth. The way that we handle our words is extremely important, is it not? We have to be people that walk in wisdom, but also speak in wisdom and use our tongue to bless rather than curse. Amen? The Bible says that our tongue is like a fire. It can start a firestorm, and we can really rip into somebody. We can really talk about someone. We can really put someone's character down. We can really do a lot of damage with this little muscle in our mouth called the tongue, can't we? This lady speaks wisdom. She speaks with godliness. And she is blessed because of it. Her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, I know that many of you mothers, I'm hopeful that all of you get a gift, a Mother's Day gift, right? And I'm sure you like that. I'm sure you love to get Mother's Day gifts. But I'm going to just bet and go out on a limb here and guess that probably the best Mother's Day gift you could receive is to have children who understand the sacrifices that you have made, who understand the love that you have for them, who understand all that you have sacrificed so that they could have, and that they would appreciate you and show their appreciation and express their appreciation and call you blessed. Am I right? Children, teenagers, please, would you understand what your parents, and today especially with Mother's Day, your mother does for you? The sacrifices that they make. Many of them are spending hours out of their week taking you to ball games or to school events. They are investing in buying you clothing, giving you entertainment options, giving you a phone, letting you get be in this and be in that. And as parents, I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, to the parents, but I mean, there is a lot that your mom and dad do for you. And if you have a mom that's invested and loved and cared for you and sacrificed for you and given of themselves for you, you need to call her blessed. You need to bless her. You need to thank her. You need to... And guys, we need to give our wives praise. And her husband praises her. And I know I need to do that more. I know Michelle likes it when I praise her, and I need to do it more often. How many of you guys would say, yeah, I could do that more often for my wife? We need to let them know how much that we appreciate them and praise her. How is this woman such a blessing to the family, to her husband, to the community? How is that possible? Because she is a woman who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. She loves God. And because she loves God, she loves others. Isn't that what Jesus said the greatest commandment is? Love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like it, love your what? Neighbor as yourself. If you will fear God and follow him, you will have a life like this lady. You will walk with moral integrity. You will be trustworthy. You'll have a good work ethic. You will be generous. You will be strong. You will be confident. You will be wise in your words, and you will be a blessing to not only your spouse, but your family, and not only your family, but your community, your church will be blessed because of you. Let me ask you this question. Are you that precious jewel? Are you that blessing? Are you that person that blesses your family, your church, your community? Do you have that servant's heart that's willing to give to God and to others? Living Water Church, we as a church need to be that rare find, don't we? And when people come across folks that go to this church, They ought to say, man, those are some precious people. Can he say that about your life? Is your life bringing honor to God, honor to your family, and honor to your community, and honor to your church? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful this morning that we have an opportunity to come and learn, Lord, from this lady. What a valuable lesson that we have from her life. A woman who fears the Lord and how that affects everything about her. The type of woman she is, the type of mother she is, the type of wife she is, the type of leader she is. How she impacts her community. So Lord, I pray that we would examine Proverbs 31 and that all of us, Lord, we would look at her life and we would see these character traits and those would be a part of who we are. That first and foremost, that we would know you. That we would fear you. That we would follow you, Lord. And that would change our hearts and change our attitudes and our outlooks. And we would be molded by your word. And we would be the people you've called us to be. So that we can be valuable to others. And enrich their life. And bring you glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.